Clubhouse.
This is the true story. True story of two sassy friends picked to co-host a podcast
and have their thoughts recorded
to find out what happens.
What?
When people stop being polite.
Did you silence your phone?
And start getting real. The Real World Podcast. This is Caroline.
And this is Aisha.
And we're back to talk episode 6, the final episode of Real World Homecoming New York. Aisha. Oh my gosh, what an ending here.
6 episodes and we're all done. It was super fast.
It was like a whirlwind, right? And like, I'm feeling the pain of it being over.
It was a good wrap to the series. I even hesitate to call it a series because it was so short.
It was so short.
But to think of all the hours of the footage that they had in the vault to work with and really kind of condensing it, they did a great job of just bringing that nostalgia back and like all of the things we were feeling during those that time of life, 1992. So like,
absolutely. You know what? Let's jump into that. Let's jump into 1992 because we're really going to kind of work backwards here. But we have the 1992 birthday party for Julie. And oh my God, was I cracking up so hard about how Julie, the nosy Muppet, has to like be so pissed that somehow they threw one over on her here.
Would you call her a person that does not like surprises?
I would say she thinks that she knows everything that's going on in the room. So therefore, not liking surprises. No.
I am so unlike this. Like, I want to be surprised all day long. Don't tell me anything.
I would never be mad if someone threw one over on me. Like, I'd be like, okay.
But see, I think because she's so emotional, you know, and she was so, her and Heather were literally shedding tears, you know?
I know.
And I thought, oh, honey.
That whole part, oh my God, when so Heather sweet. And Julie were like hugging so hard and she's like, I love you so much. I know. Oh my God.
It's a great, I think they really have a great friendship and it makes me happy to see it. I just was cracking up because she donned that denim jacket and realized her ass was on denim again.
Oh my gosh.
29 years later.
Oh my God.
But she just slowly slipped it off. That cracked me up so much.
Let's talk about 90s fashion, Aish, because when they started talking baggy clothes, denim on denim, hats, hairstyles.
Colorful.
Was this bringing back a lot of history for you?
Yeah. I mean, this aired the summer of our 10th grade year.
10th grade year.
10th, yes.
Ooh, okay.
So take yourself back to 1992 when we were in high school.
Okay.
And I was rocking the Jabot jeans. I was rocking the vests, the t-shirts.
Definitely denim shirts and vests. Yes. The
cross colors.
Yeah. I definitely had some baby doll dresses that were kind of lingering from the 8th, 9th grade years.
Absolutely.
That were still kind of mushing in. I did a lot of the tights and the Mary Jane's action, which then kind of morphed into Doc Martens, you know, when I was a little edgier.
And those are back in now.
Yeah, it's all back
it's
in
all back
now.
In.
You can go into Target and put on an entire ensemble of what we wore in 1992. It's kind of wild.
Yeah.
To go back to those memories and remember like what we all looked like and what we were all wearing and hairstyles. And she was wearing the bandana in her hair.
Yeah.
Or the headbands and stuff. Oh my God.
How are your bangs in 1992?
My bang game was strong, I would say.
strong.
To intensely strong. I was like laughing the other day because my dad, like the way to punish me was he would take my curling iron and put it in the trunk of his car.
Oh no.
And like lock
that
it.
Is messed up.
No, yeah, that's like some serious like warped business.
Wow.
But here's the thing. No yelling at me was going to matter. No amount of grounding was going to matter.
No.
But I wasn't going anywhere if my bangs weren't done.
Your bangs were flat and you were like,
so then I'm not going anywhere.
You're like, so we're not going anywhere.
You want to figure out how I'm not going to sneak out the house when my hairs are flat? I'm not going anywhere. So that was like an ankle bracelet back then to throw my curling iron in the trunk of his car, take it to work with him. Yeah. Serious.
That's some crazy shit.
That's like, creativity. That's understanding your kid's currency, man. Curled bangs were my currency.
Man, we had ever seen her with flat bangs. You might as well just gouge your eyes out.
You probably like, never did. I'm
never
just
did.
Telling you.
She would never allow such a thing.
Oh my gosh.
Man.
You know, but there was so much. What was it called? Like, was it Depp gel? What was it? Depp?
Yeah.
I'm trying to remember. Yeah. And then
in
like
the tub.
All the, oh my gosh, Aussie hairspray all the day. That purple
Aquanet.
Smell. I need some Paul Mitchell action to That's, smell up.
See,
in
you
my
had
hair.
The good stuff.
Some coconut.
See, you had the good stuff. You had the Paul Mitchell. If you had Paul Mitchell, you had the good stuff. Aquanet was that cheap ass shit you could get at Walgreens or CVS.
Well,
what was it called? Eckerd back then.
Eckerd's.
Not CVS.
Yeah, if you're from like,
if you're from this
Houston,
area, you know
Kingwood
what we're
area,
talking about.
We're going to hit you up with some Jamails, which if you're really from here, you could say Jamals.
Lord.
Jamel's. We got some, what
like,
else?
It sounded like an old black man store, Jamel's. I was like, when I first got to Cuba, I was like, what's this? And I was like, oh, it's a grocery store. Yes. I thought it was somebody black in there. I was going to go find them.
Awesome. Oh my gosh, such a funny little place.
I had no idea about any of that background.
Can I tell you something secretive? One time, yeah. I almost stole some makeup powder from there, from Jamel's.
Shut up.
It went badly. But let me just tell you what
guys,
had
don't
happened.
Tell anybody.
What had happened was I was wearing a jean shirt, of course, a denim shirt. And it was, of course, a little baggy.
Right.
It had to have been.
Clear.
So I just slid it in the sleeve of my cuff.
Oh, hailed out.
And then I was over in the frozen section trying to act cool when a store lady comes over and starts kind of talking to me. And I just kind of let that shit slip out of my cuff and be like,
into the like frozen
meat. I have no idea, madam, what
I slide right on down into the ground turkey.
My cover girl pressed powder. Just went off into the frozen section.
Oh my God. Yeah. You know what's funny? You said CoverGirl press powder. That makes me remember of my own issue in our area as we were growing up, not finding any CoverGirl press powder in brown girl colors. It was very traumatizing, guys. I need you to know.
What did you do? I don't know. Tell me.
I had to go outside the bubble.
Oh. Where how did you get there?
AKA where we live.
How did you get there? We're not allowed to go on the 59.
I have no idea. I got there somehow.
Did the mall carry anything? Surely like Macy's or something carried
no.
something.
Well, no. Well, I mean, that's not like convenience store
no,
stuff.
No,
like,
that's
drugstore
true.
Drugstore stuff. This, I'm talking like.
Plus, that's like double digits.
I just wanted like CoverGirl.
That's like $10 plus.
Right. Like I didn't have no Mac money.
No.
Or like Estee Lauder money or whatever.
Estee Lauder. Clinique, baby. It was
Clinique.
All.
I didn't have Clinique, no Clinique money.
Clinique.
I had to
bust.
Buy CoverGirl. Now you would not catch me wearing no CoverGirl press powder. I wish somebody would come up here with some press
That's
powder.
That's some serious pancaking when you get into that cover girl.
Look, they're like, well, oh they do God. Have good eyeliner, so I'm not going to.
Hey,
not,
we're not going to dog out cover
dog
girl.
Out cover
I'm
girl.
Just saying, if you, it's like back at like the Bonnie Bell, you know.
It's just, it was part
remember,
of our
remember
childhood.
That gloss that was like the roller gloss?
Yes, and it tastes so good.
Like watermelon and strawberry and shit.
There's a whole like set, I know.
It was like really more of a snack than it was a makeup item.
Okay, we digress. So the 90s God. Were a good time. Yeah. All in all, I mean,
the
do
fashion,
you look back fondly?
I do. I mean, the fashion's hilarious. I mean, I totally rocked some paisley palazzo pants that were a sight to behold. I think that this was just about the time I was taking the brooches off of my button-down shirts. Like, my eighth grade year, I definitely wore, like, a completely buttoned-up shirt with a brooch at my neck. Like, I was, like, going to some sort of high tea or something. Like, what was I wearing? But my bangs were on point.
The bangs were on point because you had the curling iron. So you were good that week. You were good that week.
I don't want to make a big scene, but girls would come over to my house before school so I could do their bangs.
Shut up.
Not even shitting you. Not even shitting you. They would, like, make a little line.
This
and
is
I would
bang house.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
I was going to get you banged.
Nothing's changed.
Nothing's changed.
Nothing. Nothing. Anyway, moving
on. Oh my gosh. Let's talk about that that whole surprise party element of it all. And Julie, like, totally absorbing this. When Norman hands over that Real World jacket, I kind of, like, fell on the floor. When he said it was just from his personal vault. Oh my God. It was so, so cute. It fit her perfectly, which is kind of funny because you know that it had to have been Norman's from back in the day.
Yeah, well, she rolled up the...
But of course, then it couldn't fit Norman now, is the point. It's like, they were all so little. They were tiny little children.
Norman was like a stick figure back then.
I know. Yeah. They were all so small.
Now it looks more manly and like filled out.
I'd rather a filled out man any day of the week.
That's right.
I like meaty.
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 I like some meat.
Okay, so lots of tears, lots of all of us together celebrate her birthday and everything.
Yeah.
What do you think of Andre singing this little song? Did you listen to any of those lyrics?
I did not.
So there's a line, everything will come around again.
Oh.
It's like this whole...
He wrote that for... I bet that he wrote that particularly.
If he didn't, it was very poignant.
I really like Andre. I mean, I said that last episode. I stand behind it. He just seems like such a great guy. You know, just so positive and just like uplifting. They all seem like that. The six of them in the house. There's so much that they bring to the table. And there's so much they do to uplift in a different way. And they'd gone around the room doing the same thing, saying, you know, you guys are all doing different things in your own worlds. That that's what's important. That's what I take away from this, these six people that stayed in the house, because I think that's the thing that makes you feel good about watching this. You
I
know?
Think so too.
Like if you think about this, if they came back and they're filming six assholes.
First of all, gross.
Gross. Where would we, would you feel great coming away from that? No, you'd be like, oh, but that it wasn't the case. It was like, they were better people.
Yeah. How did you feel about them bringing in the creator and the producer and like having Jonathan Murray and then George who's the producer, come on in. What did you think about this? Do you think they needed to be like facilitated like this to like have more memories, like talk it out better? Cause it's almost like this was clutch. Like they brought these ringers in and was like, y'all need to get them to start talking about some other stuff and get some conversation going, because it did generate a lot of different conversation than they had been having for the last 5.5 days.
I don't see it like that. I think I see it like I wasn't a complete reunion until you brought in the two guys.
You could tell it was very important to the cast. I think as viewers, since we were not privy to who the producer was or that they had relationships with them, I think it was maybe less impactful to see them. Like when they were like, it's George and John. I was like, who's that? right? Especially George. I mean, Jonathan Murray and Mary Ellis, like, come on now.
Those you know two, those names.
We knew those names. They had come across our MTV screen a million times. George, I really didn't know that he had been the producer and I didn't really pay that much attention. But I liked the things that they talked about. I really liked that Julie said, like, did we turn out like you thought we would?
Right.
That was very sweet. And what an unusual dynamic to have someone who knew you 30 years ago and knew you well enough to cast you.
I know.
And then sat with you for those couple of months. And then you kind of went off into the ether and you come back 30 years later.
It was a moment of like when they said, we're proud of you.
Yes.
Like you kind of feel like you're like our kids, you know, in a way. I think they all kind of feel like that because it's like these seven were their babies.
Yeah.
They had no idea what they were going into, you know, when they started this thing. It was only fitting for the very first cast to get this special privilege of having them to come back. Now, if they have others, I don't see that ever happening again.
right.
I think that these folks were the ones that deserved it because they were the pioneers and everybody else kind of just came after them. You know, even though there were a lot of historical things that happened in latter seasons, but these were the guys
was the
that
biggest
started
deal.
It.
Yeah, no, I agree. I was really touched by the idea of someone who knew you so long ago saying they're proud of you, like coming back and being like, I'm proud of you. And
you like that. I know you.
I was
I know
having
you
a whole
like
moment where I was like, I feel like there should be a whole thing where like people who knew you 30 years ago should like go out of their way to find you and like say they're proud of you, because it matters.
It does matter.
Like it affects me a lot. If someone who knew me eighth grade year contacted me and was like, I just want to let you know, girl, I'm proud of you. Now, here's the interesting thing, Aish. Oddly, and for whatever reason, I have had a smattering of those people.
Yeah.
And I know you have too.
I have, yeah.
Where they've come back in through DMs and whatnot. And you're like, hey, and they're like, I'm proud of you. I'm proud of like what you've become. And
right.
I'm like,
or you're inspiring or you're.
Yes.
I can't tell you what it does for me too.
Yeah.
It just makes you.
I feel like I should be picking out some people, Aisha, to DM them. Like, should I be continuing the chain?
Hey, why not?
I think I need to.
I think that's
maybe
what's telling
you
right now.
Today, we should put down like five people.
that we knew in 92 yeah. that we should go
and
back.
And then be like, hey, I don't really know
Let's
what you've
it.
Been doing, but I'm,
but
proud,
I'm proud
of you.
I say we start this trend.
Yes, it could be a whole thing. Y'all, we are going to challenge
Positivity.
You to find some people and tell them you're proud of them from your past, that like you noticed them on Facebook doing their thing and you just want to say, hey, you're doing good.
Because they're never going to know if you keep it to yourself.
Right.
Right. Nobody's going
to
know.
And how much it matters to hear it.
I don't have the type of mentality that I just sit there thinking I'm just the greatest thing that ever walked the earth.
No.
I don't know. No.
No.
No. That was it. I was trying to get your little no. But I don't. And so like when people tell me every time I'm like, oh my gosh, thank you. You know, wow. I receive it.
I'm always taken aback.
Receive.
We've had this conversation where I'm like, I always try to turn it around on the other person. And you had to give me a whole talk about
receive it.
Say thank you instead of being like,
no, you.
exactly. You know, that's what I say every time. They're like, I love your hair. And I'm like, no, your hair. Like, I say it every time, you guys. I'm like, ridiculous. I literally say no, you every time. It's ridiculous. But Aisha's counseled me along, not unlike Heather, learning new things about like, hey, just say thank you and like you appreciate that and just move on.
Receive
and I'm like, oh shoot,
I should. Receive the positivity.
Oh my goodness.
Everybody do it. right
please
now.
Please do, please. Because this came out during the John and George portion. And I felt really like I wanted to ask you about this because we both have kids. Mm-hmm. And when they were talking about labels and they said kids don't care about labels anymore.
Yep.
I paused, though. While maybe they're not so hot on giving labels to others, I think there's a huge trend on labeling yourself.
Like
whatever. It could be about your sexuality, could be about your gender, could be about whatever it is. But younger and younger, it seems like there's a real quick need to be like a lot more about making sure your label, whatever that is clear. That's different than 92. We were not all doing that.
I kind of disagree with you because I do feel like younger people have strayed away from labels. I really do. I really don't feel like they tend to want to label themselves ever anymore.
Okay.
Like, whereas, you know, everybody had to be, you know, back in the 80s, 90s, everybody was like, okay, you were, you know, you're straight, you're gay, you're bisexual, you're a lesbian, you're whatever it is that you might be. Everybody had to have some label for some reason.
I messed up because I think the labels were different. I think we did like jock, nerd.
Oh, you're talking about.
I'm talking about all of it. But I think that those are the labels we used in 92. I'm just talking about like us being like kids.
Yeah.
I don't think we talked about who was a lesbian in high school.
No.
I don't think we were talking about
that. You're right. Because that really wasn't.
It was more like, oh, they're an ag person, right?
They're jocks.
In band. They're in whatever. Like those were the labels we used. Yeah. But like the labels are different, but I don't know that labels are gone. I just think they're different.
No, I don't think that they're gone. I think that people just rather not put themselves in a box anymore. For instance, now that we're in the age of the internet and computers, or like everybody is engrossed in computers and technology, mm-hmm. that like you would never say somebody is a nerd because they are in tech. Like, you're fucking brilliant. And rich. You know what I mean?
Oh, of course.
So like those labels, when I put them in quote, they mean totally different things now.
Right.
So it's almost like,
but I think there's,
if we were to use a label, it's a different way than a younger person would be able to, like a teenager would be using that same label right now.
I guess I'm kind of like equating labels to with like how you identify. Like, I don't think I never walked around saying I'm a jock or I'm straight. Or I'm whatever. Like, I didn't.
No, you were just yourself.
I was just me. But I do think that kids these days, and I know lots of them in all over the whole country, who have all different ways of saying like, well, I do it this way. And because I do it this way at this point in time, I need to clarify that with the world for some reason. I'm like, well, as kids, I never thought to do that. I never thought anything really about how I came across to others, I guess. It's like others told you your label? Is that the, do you know what I'm
now
saying?
It's more of a, you're taking your own power and deciding what your label is and then telling others.
Almost before anyone does, I almost want to say, because it's like younger and younger. So it's kind of fascinating.
But really terrible, honestly.
I don't know what to think about it, but when he said the line, kids don't care about labels, I thought, that's not true. It's just a really different way that I think you're right,
we're
that they're trying to kind of get that power back or control the narrative a little bit. Right. And label
if
themselves.
I say this is what I am before anybody else can do it.
Right.
Then, you know, then
there's
I've power got the power.
In that, right.
However, we all know with all the stuff that goes on with young people these days, bullying and all sorts of stuff, sometimes that's not enough. You know, which is terrible.
Very true.
And how, you know, since we were in high school, it's been the same thing. There have been bullies. I agree with taking the power, though.
It's interesting to see how kids are doing that. And I think it's happening younger and younger. And they're doing their own thing, even to the point where I think you and I have had conversations about the way that kids even dress these days or the way that they're like, where we're like, that's not even flattering. You know, that's not even like cute or whatever.
I don't care.
But then that makes me wonder. It's like, but they're taking the power to be like, I'm not gonna look cute for you.
Exactly.
And it's like trickier. I was like, oh, okay. You're like,
and that's not even on their radar.
No, I don't think
so.
Don't
give a shit.
But it's fascinating.
It's very fascinating.
I thought the labels thing, I think these two older white men don't quite get it. That like labels aren't gone. Labels are just, they're being done in a different way and people are trying to take some power back, you know?
Yeah, that's a good, good perspective to have.
I don't know if that's, I hope that that's for the good. It'd be nice if we didn't have labels at all, but I don't think people are ever going to get past trying to classify
no.
people in their brain. We teach little kids to do it. We're like, here's a bunch of beads, put them in piles of how they're the same. Like, we literally teach kids to do right. that every day. Patterning is a whole thing. So
from kindergarten and preschool.
From toddlers. Toddler, I mean, yeah. you're sitting there, they separate out the little, I mean, we do it all the time. So I think brains do that. And that's not necessarily a bad thing.
No.
But it's like, don't get stuck in your holes, right. you know, like, yeah. don't just do that. Man, talking about bullying, let's move on to what you're saying about like remembering who the different people were and like where they were and where they came from.
Yeah.
Man, Norman, wow. there was just that one liner about his head in the toilet that made my whole face like fall down.
So did Kevin.
My God. Yeah. Kevin, like, eyes broke filled down. Up with tears. Mm-hmm. Oh my gosh. What do you think about Norman and like where he's come, his journey here?
Well, I mean, if Kevin was probably the most like prolific person from the first season, I feel like to make a splash and to continue the conversations that people were having about race and about gender and all that kind of stuff, Norman was the second one of the season to make a huge, huge splash, not just for the gay community, but just for living his own truth and like being himself and being unapologetic so early in life. It was the first time reality show had been on TV and he is 100% himself. Think about the amount of courage that took.
It sounds funny to say this. It really does. Because you'd think these days, talking about your sexuality or your gender or any of those things, like, right? Like, that's like the brave thing. But in a lot of ways, him talking about his financial problems, that is...
That's the brave part right now.
Very yeah. brave.
Yeah.
Because I think throughout all of time, no one wants to admit that.
No,
that
nobody wants
somehow
to admit that.
They need some help or whatever, which that's almost groundbreaking to be like, I had all these great ideas and all these revenue streams and they've all dried up. I know it's not like totally fresh because I know you see people say like, I'm poor, right? And they just say it out like that. But when you kind of have that, like, I do want to tell, I don't want to tell, I do want to tell, I don't want to tell, and you decide to tell, I think it was pretty amazing.
But what do we expect? I mean, they weren't movie stars, you know, they were just regular people. They didn't have unlimited funds that were coming in. Mm-hmm. Some of them definitely cashed in afterwards and right. made it their lives more lucrative afterwards. All honesty, he was just a normal guy.
Right.
Just a regular Joe, like trying to make it like the rest of us. I don't know. I mean, it's more real to me to see that he had struggles. He's just hustling to make ends meet.
Yeah.
That's it.
I felt really good that he chose to tell because in 6 days, you could easily hide it.
Oh, hell, you could hide that shit for 6 weeks, 6 months.
Keep it totally private and not have to tell anyone. So never. I'm so proud of him for telling and getting help from everybody.
On camera. You know? Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Mm. Well, what did you think about his growth throughout the entire thing? I mean, did you feel like he turned into a good guy? Would you want to be friends with Norman?
Oh, yeah. He'd be my bud.
I liked him from beginning to end. Like, there's no part of Norman that I ever was like, oh, Norman. Ugh. Like, I was always like, yes,
why?
Norman.
Because you liked his face masks. I loved how every opportunity he was like laying on his back with like a face mask.
That was so funny. Like, particular face masks are so gruesome looking. They
you don't
crack
like
me
that,
up.
That Jason looking
like I tore off someone's flesh and laid it across my face.
Buffalo Bill or whatever, cut out the eye holes.
Yes. Oh my God. So sick, dude. Yeah, so sick.
So sick.
So Norman, I feel like we can like kind of put to rest. Like, okay, he did a great job. He did these 6 days.
So, so cool.
Did you like his big moment with Heather of like the things that he learned? The big thing that he learned was that friends are real.
Friends are real.
Oh, Norman.
Also, don't let people steal your time.
Oh,
and that was the simple quote that he said that really struck with me.
Yeah.
I mean, Heather's did too. There was another one that
There's
Heather
lots
said.
Lots that Heather said.
But what Norman said was don't let people steal your time. And he took that to heart. And that is very important in order to be happy and live your life. You know, don't get embroiled with negativity, but also stay present with who is loving you, who is supporting you. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so I think that he really got that.
I agree with you. I'm struggling with the exact right vocabulary for what I want to call somebody who spends all their time being embroiled in other people's drama. There's got to be a certain term for that. I don't even know what. Like, I can't find the right terminology. But for me, I get that so much. And especially what you said, if you flip it on its head, because you could easily say, oh, that's not right. You should listen to people's problems. You should be a shoulder to cry on. But if you flip it on its head and say, but if you look at it like you have X amount of time in a day, mm-hmm. and you have people who love and support you and put their energy in you, and you give your energy to those who are complaining mm-hmm. and whining and struggling over here. Well, who really deserved your time? Probably the people over here who were supporting you and loving
right.
you.
Right. So you forgot those people.
You kind of did because mm-hmm. the time thieves come in, right?
Yes.
Fascinating.
It is. It was awesome.
Fascinating. Let's get into Heather because she had a lot of good things going on.
Yeah. I love the what I know versus what I've learned. Yes. You know, you could just tell she's a journal writer, right? She's yes. at home. She writes her in her journal daily. Have you ever been like, I really want to write in a journal? Like, I feel like I constantly am thinking to myself, I would like to do this one year.
Yeah.
It never happens. It never happens.
Since you and I went to the Oprah, like
I do remember,
Live Your Best Life
tour,
she pushed yes. for us to be journaling. She put that in our heads to be like, why you don't have your journals going?
Guys, I need you to hear this. We saw Oprah live, and it may not be as important to you as it is to us, but we saw her live in whenever that year was.
It was a long time ago now.
We also saw Deepak Chopra.
That was the most amazing, live. Like meditating with him.
So meditating. I mean, I could say I've meditated with Deepak Chopra. That is
freaking amazing.
To me, was just like worth its weight in gold. So yeah, definitely since that point, somebody get the date on the tour.
You want to like actually record how what you were thinking about back then and how you like, you know, got where you were, because I think it's so hard, especially we all have the tendency to look back at decisions we made and we're like, how did we get there? And we don't really know what we were thinking back then.
No.
But if you do journal and you do kind of take the moment to reflect and feel like, oh, I learned something new today, I'm going to like cement this in my brain, then I think it actually sticks with you.
That's what I use you for.
Oh, you just tell
me
stuff.
Verbal journal.
Right.
And then when I forget shit, she's like, oh no, honey, do you remember when you said... blah, 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 blah.
I think it sounds like, not like, hey, honey, do you remember? I'm like, girl, shut your fucking mouth. That is not what happened at all. That is not what happened. I was there.
What you did not feel that way.
What happened was.
You rewrite history in your mind and you say, oh, I must have responded like this.
And everybody thinks that way.
And you don't.
And then you go back and you're like.
That's why you need that journal.
Oh, damn.
Oh, so what had not happened was me acting like that.
Okay, my favorite visual was definitely Heather's journal pages all over the wall. She had those all so, laid out. Oh my God.
I was like,
God.
Nobody could give this girl some thumbtacks.
I love, though, that she had it all laid out. Like, it was like she was trying to connect the dots. You know, like, okay, if you take this piece of knowledge plus this piece of knowledge, you like get over here. I'm like, oh, she is like a mathematician.
Well, I mean, I'm glad she like laid it out because she was all, man, day two was rough. You know, and I was like, yeah, it was. Like, I'll go back to my notes. Like, yeah, it was. Oh, gosh.
Or like that Norman came in and like talked to her in the first day, but then like never opened up again. I was like, oh, that was like good stuff. I was, that was fascinating. Talk to me about Heather's realization about the footage with her dad.
I didn't realize that, one, she had such a strong, you know, connection with her father.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, I don't know what everybody else's relationships are with their parents either. I think Julie maybe.
We only had those weird early moments when she said he wanted her to become a computer expert.
Right, exactly. So it's a very important part to convey to the producers. And I'm glad she mentioned it. You know, you really rarely do see a lot of Black women with strong Black fathers on TV. You really do. And now, back then, you know, and now it's still very, very, very little, but we are getting more and more. I was just watching This Is Us. Mm-hmm. And I love the fact that there is such a strong bond between Randall and his daughters.
Mm-hmm.
There are pockets of these, you know, relationships that are being shown on TV, but they're just not enough. And I'm glad that she made that point.
And I liked it that she did like a call to action.
Yeah.
Where she was
like, not me. I'll take my lumps.
Yeah. And she's like, but you're going to have a story again. You're going to have another Black girl come on here.
Yeah.
And when she does.
Show her with her dad.
Show the story as it is and like show this relationship because it matters. And, you know, those are the types of things that I think, you know, Heather is so precise with her actions and her words.
Yes.
She's like a little like a ninja. Like she comes in and she's like, she's been cool this whole time. And then she's like, by the way, show more Black girls than their father. I'm out. And just like moving along. Like she just like dropped her knowledge, walked out and was like, that's it. Don't make a scene about it. I'm not going to tell you till the last day. And then I'm going to walk out of here.
Yeah.
Don't call me to do a special about like dads and daughters.
Don't call me.
But, you know, when you're moving on, do better. you know, do
know better, do better.
Better. Yeah.
I love it. Yeah. Call to action is exactly the right
That's
way
how
to
it felt, right?
Yeah. Real quick, another little Please. Quick tidbit
oh,
that
hit
I
me
noticed
with Heather all over.
Not on Heather, but just like a random thing.
Yeah.
I was noticing during the footage when they were showing it, they were doing all the, like some of the subsequent casts that have come through.
Mm-hmm.
No, take it back. It wasn't okay. the subsequent cast. It was when we were talking about Norman and they were showing all of the gay individuals that have come through the real world.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Karamo from Queer Eye was in one of those.
Oh, wow.
And I caught it so quickly, right?
Wow.
I had forgotten. Did you remember that he was?
No.
So I looked it up. He was on Real World Philadelphia. That's why I know his face.
Oh, that's crazy.
I watched that season and it was so funny when Queer Eye came out, the second cast of Queer Eye on Netflix, when that came out and I saw his face, I was like, why do I know this guy's face? I never looked it up. I just figured I was just, I don't know.
Yeah.
He's just something endearing about him. To come to find out that he was an actual... Like
Good
he
old
was a
real world,
right? He was a young 20s wow. on Real World Philadelphia. So
wow, that's yeah. wild. Mm-hmm. I thought that was I. We should take a beat on that anyway. Seeing Pedro again and hearing the way that he said, "I'm not dying with AIDS. I'm living with AIDS." Mm-hmm. That was so poignant for me at that age,
yeah,
being
that was
so
a big
young.
Deal.
Oh my gosh! And watching him and realizing. You know, it's probably one of the first times that we ever knew AIDS as a person,
mm-hmm.
you know, that someone could say, I have AIDS and it'd be like, oh my gosh, we've been like living this life with him. Mm-hmm. And like, we didn't really, you know, we didn't know. We were so young and just ignorant. You know, we didn't know anything about it. We didn't have any experience. So impactful. I feel like there was like that. And there was a Golden Girls episode where perhaps Rose had a blood transfusion that perhaps she had AIDS. Right.
Wow.
I know. And so Sophia won't drink from her cup and won't use the same toilet and all this stuff. Yeah. And that was a very helpful, knowledgeable, because they were like, you can't get AIDS from a toilet
right.
seat.
And they it had
was
to like, say that over and over again.
They had to say it because people didn't know. And mm-hmm. it was like, these moments are very important to actually see. Pedro's a real person, though. This isn't a storyline on Golden Girls. You know, this is a real person. No. I was like, wow.
It gave me goosebumps. It really did. To
it
see,
did.
To see the impact that the show has made on history. Really, it did. So
yeah.
I was like.
It was a lot. I super, super appreciated seeing him.
We talked about Andre. We talked about Heather. We talked about Norman. We got to talk about Julie a little bit. I'm constantly like impressed. Something about her now is so much more like makes her younger self more endearing to me. Does that make sense?
It does, because I think
like,
it sheds
watching it again.
Light like on her layers.
Yeah.
Because I think it was very one note when you actually watch it at the beginning. She's so young, you know, you just can't appreciate that she had all this brewing in her head.
I didn't think she had anything brewing in her head.
But you know what? That's also a takeaway for me, because me and you kind of walked out of here early on and said, gosh, are we Julies? You know, are we the Julies of the world? And I'll say this. I think we definitely are, in that there is a very specific slice of the pie of specifically women who no one thinks is anything's brewing in their heads.
Hmm.
They think they're just moms at home doing their thing.
Mm-hmm.
And that's it. And the reality is that I hope people come to see with Julie. No, there's a lot going on in all these women's heads, and they have a lot of opinions and a lot of ideas, a lot more to say, and a lot more power to
Hell yeah.
actually change things and make people feel motivated to do something. I hope she empowers some people.
And teaching the next generation on what they need to be doing.
And that's important.
Hello.
And what an important job that is. They didn't use the M word. They didn't continuously say, she's a mom.
Yeah, if I had heard that a billion times, I would have been like...
But with Andre, it was all day long. He's a dad.
Yeah,
oh,
yeah,
he's a dad. The fact that she was a mom, we didn't use the M word a lot.
No.
It was about her teaching her daughters, teaching her kids, but they didn't use the M word. And I'm kind of curious about that, actually. I don't know. What does that mean, Aish? What does it mean?
Do you feel like it was a little kind of off balance there? Like it was...
I don't know. What do you think? Did you hear a lot of, oh, she's a mom? Or was it like a whole lot of, oh, he's a dad?
Oh, gosh. When you put it like that, I do agree with you. They did heavily emphasize that Andre was a dad.
And how amazing he was to be
right.
a dad.
Do you think it has something to do with the younger your children are?
Sure. The more adorable it is.
And
right?
the more... It's on people's minds, you
Maybe.
Know, that you're, because you've got a small child, you're a dad, your mom.
Right. You're
daddy. When you've got older kids, it's like people start to see you as yourself again, as the person.
Maybe.
Instead of just the caregiver.
maybe
necessarily. I mean,
it's something that I would love our listeners to like give us some feedback on, because there is something to that. Andre's away and there's this sense of like, oh, he's this dad and he misses his kid. Okay, cool.
Right.
It also gives me this weird vibe of like when mom's away and people say like, who's watching the kids?
Oh gosh.
And you're like,
my eyes are rolling now. You're like, their father.
Like, yeah. What are you talking about? But so there's this, I always think there's a funny balance about
there
that.
Is,
but
there is.
This was an interesting, I mean, you could put them side by side and they were definitely presented differently.
Yeah.
As parents. And yeah. I don't know if it's because he's got a younger kid or what.
It would have been a very interesting dichotomy for them to place her in that mom role because she was so young. Like, she'd be like the kid and then the mom now.
And maybe
like
they didn't want to do that. Maybe they wanted to keep her the young, naive, whatever in this group.
No, because
but it didn't
she
work.
Wasn't like that. She's didn't not work. Like that anymore at mm-hmm. all. Mm-hmm. I mean, she's woke. So organized and top of her shit. Bringing people together.
She's a mom.
Still fun.
Turns out she's a mom.
Still having a party.
She's got her shit together.
Like
she's making things happen.
All of it. So like, she's a well-rounded individual from what I'm seeing.
I actually wish they would have made mom be cool.
We already are cool. What the hell?
No. But being dad was cool. Andre was cool to be dad.
Andre, dad had a guitar. What we got?
Well, we've got race protests and you know, bringing information to our kids. Like there was something, I don't know. I'm just saying there's something there. I'm just scratching at the surface. Like that was interesting that they chose to portray
it
them being parents in two different ways.
Absolutely.
Fascinating.
Very
to
fascinating.
Me. Very fascinating. Now, maybe Andre said, I just want to talk about having a kid. I don't want to talk about much of the other stuff in my life. But then we didn't really delve into Julie then. So
they don't have time. I just don't see that there was enough time.
Agree with you. So anything else about Julie, about her progress from start to finish? I mean, obviously she had one of the biggest blow up scenes with Kevin, you know, back in 92. Lots was going on with them.
Right.
And so the fact that they made it to this point and there was a lot of I love you, I love you. There was a lot of great vibes, I thought.
Well, they didn't have to rehash any of that.
Yeah.
You know, they've moved past it. They've both grown. They've both learned new ways to communicate. And Julie's a totally different person.
Mm-hmm.
Kevin has matured himself. It's what I would expect coming 29 years, you know, in the future,
yeah.
meeting up with somebody. And we've both grown. I would expect that. It would kill me to go meet somebody that we were in high school with and 29 years later, and they're still the exact same person. Or they haven't changed in any way, you know, like that is mind blowing to me.
Yeah.
That you've wasted all these years of your life and you haven't changed one iota.
I feel so, like we do know some of those people though. I'm just saying. I wonder what the percentage is. I wonder
not
what
around.
What is the percentage you think of people who truly change and people who are like, whoever you were at 18, 19, you pretty much are the same person. What do you think?
I don't even know how to answer that because it literally blows my mind to think that somebody could stay the same. Like,
I don't
are
know,
you
man.
Fucking kidding me?
You don't think like small town crap? You don't think, I mean, now you have some family that lives in some small town biz.
Yeah.
As do I. I have some stayed in the same town.
Mm-hmm.
Those people are not different. They're not different. They don't see things differently. They don't talk differently. They don't do things differently. So,
I mean,
what do you think? Is it like 50-50 or what do you think?
Really? You're looking at it more negatively. I would say like 80-20. Like
saying
to
50%
me.
Change. That's pretty good.
That's not enough.
You don't think that's enough?
No, I would say more.
I think we'd see better
it's probably
stuff.
Less.
In this.
It's probably less than all this.
I think we'd see better stuff in the world if people really changed.
Gosh, you're right.
You know, shit. That's my guesstimate. I don't know. I have no idea. I'm sure there's studies out there that are like, whatever your thoughts were at 18, do you think you're the same or different? But there'd be talking numbers.
There would be people who would be like proud.
Yes.
Of the fact that they have the same fucking thoughts, which is even more frightening.
That's very true.
So
very true.
I don't even know. I'm not even around these people. So I would be like, I got to get out of here.
Oh my God.
I can't be that. Around people like this.
It weirds me out. It also weird. You know, I'm going to tell you something. This is going to be a little odd. But I'm going to tell you this.
Tell me.
I actually get weirded out because I think I change so much so often, like as we're moving through ideas and kind of thoughts, and I try to continue to change. Sometimes I get weirded out by how blatant it is when someone else is in a different stage and I can see the stage. Like I'm like, ooh, girl, you're just in the part right before you're going to realize this next thing. But like I can see it in hindsight. And I'm like, oh, yeah, no, I know. Yeah, just give yourself about 6 months. You're going to know what I'm talking about.
But don't you know you hated that when people do that to you?
Well, we were always the youngest people in the room. We were always the youngest. We would always seek out these older mentor ladies, right?
And then now hear it constantly.
I like every once in a while we've got like a younger one, you know, falling behind, and I'll look behind, I'll be like, girl, you just like about 1 year away, and then you just wait. Exactly. You just wait. You're gonna see what's gonna happen. You know, and it's like, oh my God, that's so
like we're now these people.
And also I want to be like, how come we're not better humans if like we all end up going through these same stupid cycles? Why can't we be better?
Help each other out. Better. That's the bottom line. Raise each other up. Lift your sisters up.
Be real and listen, right? Be real.
Yes. Listen.
Listen when those older people are telling you what's
up. And that's, let me tell you something that I definitely have learned, not just from this show and this, you know, and Becky's.
And today's podcast.
and Becky's asinine behavior. But I'm telling you, listening is so important. Shutting up, getting out of your own head, listening to what other people have to say. You know, you don't have to take everything. You don't have to take everything to heart. Not everybody, everything everybody tells you is right. But listen to just like what they have to say. You know what I mean?
I do. I really do. Because I think that we run into a lot of people who they don't want to go through that exercise of taking in new information, putting it through their filter, and then you can discard what you want to discard. But if you never heard it in the first place, you're giving yourself zero fighting chance to ever hear anything new and different.
Well, I think it's this goes back to Becky.
Let's go right into Bexter.
It goes back to people that have already, when you're talking to them and you're already formulating what you're going to say before you're even finished, they're even finished speaking, right? Mm-hmm. Somebody's talking to you and you're half listening. You're not even listening to what they're saying because you're already formulating what you're going to say. That's the type of stuff she's been doing. To me, that's getting you nowhere. You have taken in nothing from anybody else. You've not learned anything from anybody else. You're just recycling what you already know and what you believe. And that's the problem.
I just did like a full look off into the distance to you because I was realizing like how boring must your life be if you either surround yourself with the same words all the time, or anytime you bother to go say to your Afro Brazilian dance class,
dance troupe, yeah.
Right? But if we know her MO is not to open up her ears and just to talk, then we know even though she had that experience, she didn't hear what anyone had to say. We know she couldn't.
Here's the thing. This is why she keeps saying she's not racist. She feels like she's doing the right actions.
Okay.
You see what I'm saying?
I do.
I'm doing the right things. I'm supporting the right causes. You know, I'm around certain people. I'm donating to certain charities. I'm blah, 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 blah. Whatever you want to fill into that blank. She thinks her actions are right.
Okay.
Right? But she's not getting anything from that.
Yeah.
Do you see what I mean? Like she's not actually processing what she's doing. She's not listening
like reflecting,
to
right?
Not reflect exactly. Not reflecting on what the actual purpose is of all of these things.
Right.
So that's why in her mind, she's like, I don't understand what you're doing. Why are you coming at me? Because I feel like I'm doing the right things.
Yeah.
I'm doing the work, sort of.
It's like when your kid is like doing the work you asked them to do, but they're doing it like kind of like with a toot. And then you're like kind of jump on them and you're like, what the hell? And they're like, but I'm doing the thing you said. And I'm like, but you're not doing it the way you need to be doing it. You know what I mean? Like, you're not doing this in a way where you're actually
Right.
Yeah. You're literally going through the motions.
Exactly. That's the phrase. She's going through the motions and she has no idea what those motions really mean.
I like that very much. So we're not going to give Becky a lot of time on this because as we learned, if you remove yourself from the situation,
you're removed from the conversation.
So we're not going to talk about Becky much more.
But we are going to talk about what I do want to talk about is Kevin's, I guess, wrap up.
Yes, please.
At the end of last episode, I was like, is he going to leave right before this last day? Obviously not, right?
I was really worried he was going to leave like the whole time.
And the producers come out and like have a whole like, do we need to sit on the couch and hold your hand? Like,
I didn't know where we're going with
this. Here's what I didn't realize. All the stuff that Kevin went through, and I know that he received a lot of hate, right? So he's, you know, mentioned that on the show and all that. I didn't realize that. During the time, I guess, you know, when you're watching the show, even though they're real people, they're characters to you, right?
Oh, very much.
So
yes.
You forget that they even exist.
Right.
Once the show's over, like they just like disappeared into the ether, right?
Right.
No, oh no, they had actual.
Well, they just got a new gig.
Freaking lives. And there was no internet. So people couldn't fucking really trash you. So they were like, had to get out the paper and pen, the scroll.
The New York Times has to write something about you.
Right. Literally write a letter and mail it to you. Like, you fucking suck. You know, that kind of thing. God. Right.
Can you imagine taking the time to do that? Writing "you fucking suck" to someone God. And putting a stamp on it and mailing it.
I know many people who would be like this, like licking their pen and like, let me get
on
to this
sucker.
Yeah. Like, can't wait.
Oh my God. That's like, so funny.
Man, you have a shitty life. But I mean, I just don't realize, I don't think he realized how much he needed this second chance. Like, I think he, once he got there, he realized what it was. No, I take it back. I think he did realize what this was. This whole homecoming season was going to be about. And I think what he wanted to do was really kind of promote positivity and like change people's opinions. And the way that he and Becky had this interaction, I really feel like he was disappointed. I think that's what I'm trying to say. Yeah. I think he was truly deeply disappointed that he couldn't come to some sort of understanding with her.
She was like an ultimate goal would be, if you could change the tide with her and you could get her to see your POV, then you had reached like the pinnacle of like getting to people and getting them to understand. And when she didn't, and she left and she hung up on him, and he realized like communication is now cut off. There is never going to be that closure. You're never going to get that pinnacle. You could see the weight of the matter just
but isn't that exhausting? Isn't that the exhausting part?
Yeah.
For
but also the you could see the what's the word I want to say? Like you said, disappointment. That crushing moment of realization of like
exhaustion.
Can't change her mind.
Think of it as an educator, as you are. Okay.
Yeah.
He's an educator.
Yeah.
He's a writer. He lives his life to explain, to educate people on the things that he feels most convicted about. Mm-hmm. And he can't fucking do it with this woman.
Yeah.
And that's got to be a big blow.
I do. I agree with you wholeheartedly.
A big blow to your heart, to your ego, to your brain, like everything. Like I felt that like the blood drain out of him.
And I think almost. The buildup was really apparent then. Because you could see how crestfallen he was that it didn't happen. So then that was the first time I realized how much it had been built up that they would get closure.
And I didn't realize that until that moment.
Once he totally broke there, I was like,
that's when I realized it.
Oh no. Like oh, he shit. Was kind of like really hoping to make inroads.
That's why I said I had to change my thought. I was like, no, he knew. Yeah. He knew what this was coming in. He knew fully well to not be able to get to that point. Crushing.
It really is. And I'm sure for the show itself, I mean, what a breakthrough moment it would have been had there been that.
But you know what?
You know?
That's the fucking real world.
And that does speak back to what he was saying about the temperature of the country. Because that's where we are right now in 2021.
It's like what it is.
People hoping that we could change someone's mind and sometimes having to step back. Constantly, Paul says, I hate living in this times that we live in. Mm-hmm. It is the most frustrating and boring, because at some point people are going to look back and say, God, why didn't they just get it sooner?
Just why didn't you just get it together?
Like we're just in the struggling time. We're just flailing and flailing and flailing, whether it be our health or whether it be our societal relations with one another. Looking back 100 years from now, we're going to look back and laugh at how absolutely stupid and we couldn't. Maybe it'll be 200 years. I don't know. But you know, there'll be a point. I'd like to think.
It feels like it's been a lifetime for our parents.
Yeah.
Us, in the grand scheme of things, it's just a blip.
It is.
It's
sort of like looking back at like a farmer plowing his field with one little plow by himself. And we look back and we'd be like, oh man, we could do that in 5 minutes now. There's like what we're going through right now feels like, oh man, someone's gonna look back on us and be like, y'all are so stupid. You just needed to do it this way.
I think that's what the most exhausting part about America, being Black in America right now, is just because it's taken so long. How much longer? The civil rights movement, to even before, to go up, we go further back than that, but just even from like, let's just for the sake of purposes to just discuss this, from civil rights
right
to now. I mean, how much longer? My mother was in a segregated school in East Texas. She was the first class to be desegregated,
and that's amazing to me. When you told me that, I was like, I can't believe how recent that really was.
But like, how much longer? And that's what's
exhausting and tiring for Black Americans. And it's, it just makes you feel like nothing's going to change. You start to feel a little bit, and then you get pulled back down, and then you start to feel a little bit more hope, and then you get pulled back down. And so that's where you get that feeling of like, well, we just don't know. You're just never sure.
I, you know, I would never try to act as if I could see it through your POV, but I can say from the point of view of people who are walking alongside of you, we're saying the same thing.
Yeah. Like, I know that.
How much longer?
I know.
I'm so sick of having arguments with people that we know and saying like, you're not looking at it right, man. You're just not listening. Like, please see it differently so that we can all move on. Like, we're all waiting on you. You're the one person. I feel like we're all in the car. There are white people in the car with you. There's Black people in the car. There's Hispanic, Asian people. We're all waiting in the car for that asshole in the house who can't get on the damn bus with us. Yes. And let's go. We're all ready to take a new ride. Yes. We want a new adventure together.
I love that. Take a new ride.
We're so fucking bored of this. I feel like Eric spoke to this beautifully when he said, they said it's a real world. And he says it's a new world.
Yes.
And I was like, that's how I feel. I'm like, we're ready to take the ride to a new place world. Too. Please take us with you because we're no more okay with this shit than you guys are. We just don't know what to do. And we don't know how to make these assholes listen any better
than you do. Right. No, exactly. You're right.
No, we really don't. I wish we did because man, am I sick of it. I'm so tired of this whole thing. And I think that we got to see that Kevin did a great job. I think of continuing to say, I just want some closure.
Yeah.
I just thought we could get there.
The positives were that he pointed out, you know, that everybody's doing their work. Everybody in that room is doing their work in their own way. That's how we get to those moments where we're all on a bus and we're all trying to get everybody together for this new world.
And I'm like helping other people pack. We're all trying. I mean,
you know, we're trying. We're trying to get to this new world.
I brought snacks. Just please get on the bus with us. It was very interesting to pretty much end with Eric and have him have that last conversation with Kevin about how everyone is suffering. You know, to be conscious and be aware of how we're all showing up in the world.
Yep. And the impact that he's making on people's lives.
Yeah.
Yep.
I thought it was fascinating to broaden the conversation because just like we did just now, where we're saying like, yes, Black people in America, yes, are suffering.
Yes.
There are other people suffering too.
As well.
And we all want to make this better. What can we do? How can we make this better? Yep. When Eric said that, everybody's suffering. Everyone's got something going on. I was like, oh shit.
you don't know the traumas that people are carrying around, right?
You know my thing. Gotta be kind. You don't know what battles people are fighting that day.
You don't
want to be the person pushing them over. What did you think when they said we're a reflection? When it was Kevin and Eric like kind of looking at each other.
I know. That was a great moment. The two of them, man, I could just sit there and probably listen to both of them just speak on whatever they wanted to talk on because I was soaking it all up. They are a reflection, you know, and I don't even recall them being like super close back in the day or anything, but I think that this relationship, their friendship has grown over the years. It's good to see. It's just really good to see that Eric is so positive and so encouraging and so, I don't know, what else? I mean, how else would you feel about this relationship?
I think that what made me really interested in that reflection thing is the idea that no matter how much you feel like you're standing alone, in the case of Kevin, Eric is reflecting back the idea of healing.
Ooh,
and I think there's something there because I think that Eric spends all his time with people, all different races, I assume, all different walks of life, who he is, you know, able to talk through and work through physically and everything else, all the problems, the burdens of the world. So when I think they look at each other, it's like Kevin is like over here saying like, there's a problem. We all need to be aware of it. And Eric is like the reflecting pool saying, and here's how, if you come over here and listen, we can heal. And it was like, oh, y'all are, and I don't know if reflection's quite right. Like it's almost more like yin yang-ish.
Yes. I've got my fingers crossed. Like it's,
there's like a real,
not collaborative, but like,
but kind of, I'm with
that
you.
That spirit.
Yeah. That like, once you get to this point, once you're aware there's a problem, it's like you almost move on to Kevin or you almost move on to Eric and be like, okay, now let's start healing. Let's start figuring out how we can make this better.
Intertwine.
Let's think about how you, like, this is we'll go back to the she who we should not name. How do you show up in the room? What do you look like when you get here? What vibe are you putting off? That is a conversation that happens after you have a Kevin conversation. You got to go have the Eric conversation about like, okay, so now you're coming into the room. What are the vibes coming? What are, as I say, like the stink lines. Like, what stink lines do you have coming off of you? are you even aware of them?
Right.
Because I don't think people are. I think people are full of stink lines.
It's a lot of it is a lot
stinking
of,
it up.
When you say reflection, it's self-reflection, I think. That's I like the, that. That's the bottom line, is how many people are willing to really look inside, point out their own flaws, and try to make themselves better. It's something I think we all work on every day of our lives, every year. Hopefully, the ones that want to make it better for their kids, for their relationships, their mm-hmm. spouses, or whatever it is.
Right. Thinking about what is love, defining
all
things.
That. Like, yeah. It's the growth that you need to have as a human being that happens continually. Like,
I would say 6 out of 7 people.
I hope. She's all 2.
If this group is right, six out of seven people do the self-reflecting.
I didn't even get it. Oh my gosh.
6/7 change.
Correct. Correct. The math is right. The math checks out. So here we go. Because that's a scientific study with one group only. Yeah. But you know what? You know, it's fine.
Do you want to see more real world reunions? Did you enjoy this idea of a homecoming? Do you think that other seasons had what it takes to kind of step forward and talk to things?
Honestly, I don't think I need to see any more.
Okay, fascinating. See, if you bring Puck in on the scene with some Rachel action, maybe get me in here with some of these people. I think there's some of them.
But where are we picking? Are we picking and choosing now?
Yes, I'm picking and choosing.
Okay, so that's the point.
I don't want to just see everybody. Do we go in order?
So I have to be very logical about this. Okay, I'm a logical person.
Let me hear you.
If we're going to do this, then you're going to start at 1 and go down. Are we picking willy-nilly? Like, which seasons are, like, the most popular? Like, where? What's we doing?
Some were more, you know, groundbreaking, right? I thought so. And some characters were more engaging, right? Some you really were, like, pulled in.
I'm not a big fan of taking an idea and beating it till it's dead.
Show
up in the room.
Some people love the idea of taking an idea of beating it to the ground.
Show them how fabulous you are and then fucking walk out and never come back again in that outfit.
I love
that. Like, that's it. You don't need to come back again and again and again to the same fucking club with the same outfits or just so you can get the same praise. Like, what are we doing?
Okay, so let me ask you this. If you don't care to move on with the next Real World's any other city, then how do you feel about this idea of 30 more years and they come back with like a 7-year-old version?
Oh, no, please. Go home.
Come on, that didn't crack you up. That idea. Could you see them at 70?
No.
I feel like Andre would definitely be wearing like a velour jogging suit. Whatever the equivalent of that is in 2051. It would be some sort of something little like tracksuit. I just feel like I could see this crew being pretty funny, right?
I feel like that's a Saturday Night Live skit waiting to happen.
That would be perfect.
Why didn't SNL needs to just jump on this?
They need to.
Like Real World.
2051.
I can see it now. And then they just like come out with like and do some crazy shit. They're all like, yeah.
Well, you know what?
I don't want to see it.
I feel like the two of us are like this group of 7 and we will always be to be continued.
Absolutely. To be continued.
This is Caroline.
And this is Aisha.
Thanks so much for listening. Please head over to Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen to your podcast and rate, review, and subscribe to Odd Clubhouse. Thanks so much for listening.
Thank you for listening. This has been an original Pod Clubhouse production. Pod Clubhouse is a podcast network dedicated to encouraging collaboration among podcasters and friends to bring a fresh voice and diverse perspective on a wide array of content. Please visit and leave a comment for us at podclubhouse.com. Rate, review, and subscribe to our podcast feeds on Apple Podcasts. Follow us on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. You can find us at Pod Clubhouse. Our DMs are always open, and we'd love to hear from you.